Senator Bill Brady, Republican leader in the Illinois Senate, joining us this morning. Bill, how have you been?
Good. How you been?
Busy, but worried, just like everybody else in the state of Illinois. I'm curious what your thoughts are here. Democrat supermajority, both houses. Can you see Illinois voting Republican to the sufficient numbers to take the Republicans out of the back seat of the car driving Illinois and put them back in the front seat in the legislature?
Well, the Illinois House will be very difficult. There's some key opportunities to pick up some seats in the House and also a couple in the Senate. But the Illinois House will be difficult to pick up more than a couple. But we've got to fight for those seats. In the Senate, we've got a chance to pick up one or two. We have a different dynamic in the Senate that we don't have every member up for re-election.
So
only a third of the members are up. So there are a lot of those seats in the inner city of Chicago that are just out of play for us.
So what's going to drive people to the polls? Is it going to be the presidential election? Is it going to be the way the governor handled COVID-19 in the state of Illinois? What do you think will drive people to the polls this year?
Well, I think down in your area, President Trump is vastly popular. People are looking at the results of the Trump administration, and they're excited about the opportunity this administration and President Trump has given them. So there's going to be people turning out, as they should turn out. There's also going to be people, I think, turning out because the Democrats have put a graduated income tax revision on the ballot, and I think there's a huge support downstate to defeat that initiative for fear of higher taxes, particularly the threat that the Democrats would impose a tax on retirement income. So then there's another very important race down in your area for the Supreme Court. Justice Carmeier, who served this area so well and worked hard to rebuild the justice system down there, is retiring, and Justice Overstreet is running to replace him. That's a critical issue for the entire state, not to mention the area down there that your listening, viewing audience is in.
You know, when it comes to the fair tax, the passion about that, right, is one of the things, and I can't disagree with you on that driving to the polls. And it's interesting, I've been getting some mail about this. All right, now we look at the messaging, and it says 3% of Illinoisans will see their taxes go up, okay, and that will balance the books of Illinois. Well, there are around 12.8 million people, depending on his number, but 12.8 million people in Illinois. 3% of 12.8 million is 384,000. So if we have a debt of $64 billion, then those 384,000 people would need to pay $166,066,000 and some change. But if you believe the other figure, $200 billion in debt, that would require each of those 384,000 individuals to pay $520,833,000. 3% of Illinoisans, can they bail Illinois out of the problems we have monetarily?
That's why you just can't trust the Democrats. And in fact, Democratic Treasurer Frerichs has said that, is not part of what you're talking about, has said that this will open the door for the Democrats to tax retirement income. A lot of Democrats have been wanting to tax retirement income. It would just further move people out of the state. It's a bad policy, and that's why you can't trust the Democrats. The math tells the truth. That's why I think the voters will wake up, and they will defeat this initiative, but we need them to show up. They need to vote early. Get your ballot in, either by mail or go vote right now, and make your vote be counted.
You know, I have another concern about fair tax, and that's farmers. I can remember, working with my granddad, and we're getting one of these combines, and he says, "Tom, boy, this costs $400,000. And I had a hard time grasping that when I was a young man, and I realized the kind of gambling, so to speak, my grandfather was doing on the farm with large sums of money every day, and I can't help but wonder if the fair tax and the sums of money that go through farmers, even though they may not make a mint, they do spend one keeping the operation going. And I wonder how the fair tax would affect agriculture and that hometown farm.
Well, what we do know is this gives the Democrats the freedom to almost do anything they want without a lot of recourse by eliminating the flat fare position of our current Constitution. The idea that the people who drafted this Constitution felt that a flat tax would be fair and further restrict wild legislative tax policies, particularly by Democrats, I think has been valid. Even though the Democrats have raised taxes, they have been constrained in that because they couldn't just tax people that they didn't think voted for them anyway, who drive a lot of economy and commerce in this state, provide jobs and so forth.
You know what I find interesting, and it's hard very often to do, is note the absence of something and the significance of its absence. I call it the Luchtefeld effect. That's what I call the state in which the citizens would accept a rate increase on their taxes because the state has done everything to prove it has done its best to cut and keep expenses in line. And the absence of even talking about cutting or trying to balancing the budget in some way, and what we would do to be able to get there outside the lieutenant governor saying 20% cut, that absence is, I think, going to cause some problems when people saying, you want to vote for higher taxes? Well, you haven't held up your end of the deal. You haven't tried to cut.
You're absolutely right. This budget is bigger than last. One of the reasons that we opposed it, particularly during a pandemic, this COVID-19 crisis, and not only did they not try to cut, they allowed themselves to benefit from a taxing, from a pay raise in this last budget. So, you know, people are waiting in the unemployment lines to get government to do what it should be doing for them. And yet Democrats in the legislature found a way to include in a bigger budget a pay raise. So there's a lot of things out there that the voters need to be concerned about, need to question. Particularly the Democrats, who have pretty much guided this policy that has put us in such a dire financial situation. But to give them what they want, which is more ability to further reduce economics and commerce in this state with a graduated tax, would just be wrong.
You know, the Illinois delegation of the Senate is saying more financial assistance. We need financial assistance. We need it now. Failing to recognize the money approved March 27th has not been disseminated. I've not been able to confirm a single bit of money coming out of that CARES money, part of the CARES Act. March 27th, outside of Chicago and the collar counties, the other municipalities. Matter of fact, I looked up, your hometown is Bloomington, Illinois. It is standing to receive per capita dissemination.
Are we still there?
Yeah, here we are, Senator. I think we lost you somehow. I was looking up this CARES and CURE money, March 27th. Your hometown, Bloomington, Illinois, stands to receive $3,160,394, according to documents from the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. I bet you Bloomington's not seen $1.
Well, the problem with this program is the governor has been far too restrictive, in my opinion, and I've had this discussion with him, that local municipalities should be given the same benefit outside of the Cook and Collar County area that they were given in the Cook and Collar County area. And those resources need to go to allow them to help their communities in the fashion they seem best. But the governor's been, I think, far too restrictive. He'll blame it on federal guidelines. I think there's a give and take there. And those monies are not being deployed around outside the Cook and Collar County areas like they should be. The federal government gave directly to Cook and Collar County areas that money. They've been deploying those to the better interest of their communities. While I think this administration has been far too restrictive on this, and I've made this point to the governor.
How did that go when you made that point?
He continues to say that his experts tell him there are complications that don't warrant that. We're going to continue to push on it because it's just not right. And we believe local units of government can judiciously use these resources as intended by the federal government without the state government tying their hands and frankly not giving them the resources that they should be allotted.
Well, and when you look at these restrictions, it reduces the amount of time it can be spent in and reduces the number of items it can be spent on. Those same rules are not in effect in Cook and Chicago and the collar counties.
You're right. The inequity in this program is something the governor's got to realize. And we're hurting in areas of this state outside of the Cook and Collar counties just as they are. We need those resources for our citizens that the federal government's given us. So I think we just need to keep talking about it, and we keep having local municipalities and counties put pressure on the state to do what's right.
Do you believe it's intentional to use that money to help bail the state of Illinois out? Since right now, I mean, last week, Indiana says we benefit from the craziness in Illinois, but they went on to elaborate saying, you know, that craziness means that people leave Illinois and go to Indiana. And then the representatives in D.C. from Indiana says, we're not bailing Indiana out. We've watched our books. You should have watched yours. Where does this money go? I mean, is this part of, you think, some of the plan to keep this money on the state level to help with its financial being underwater, for lack of a better word?
Well, I don't see a path toward that. I think there are restrictions on how those resources can use. My fear is we may lose the money if we don't get it. And let's face it, this money was made as an investment into our local communities to help them through this so that they aren't entirely devastated. If these resources don't get out the door in these communities to help the communities, they are going to suffer consequences that they wouldn't have had to suffer if the resources would have been put into the community. So this is something that needs to be addressed immediately. You know it, and I know it. We've got businesses and cities that are really struggling with the devastating effects of this virus and the impact, and particularly what the governor's impositions have been on businesses and communities. So I don't know why he won't give this meet this request by the local municipalities and the counties, but we're going to keep pushing to try to get him enlightened to why it's so important.
You know, when it comes to this right now, I mean, you with your time in the legislature being relegated to basically, you know, the state's being run by executive fiat, I would think you'd be anxious to get back to Springfield to change that.
We have. We continue. My members are very frustrated. I'm very frustrated. We have continued to talk about the need for the legislature to do its job, and that is be a partner in working through this, not just sitting on the sidelines, and as you said, letting the governor by executive fiat. Yes. Unfortunately, there's all kinds of excuses of why we're not doing that, but we don't think it's the right thing to do, and we're going to continue to do what our job is, and that is voice our opinion and call for policies that are correct, and not just let the governor govern this state by executive order.